And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. If through the words of this human being we do not hear your voice, O God, we ask you to speak to each of us then here in the quietness of the heart. Amen. A few years after I became a pastor, I was living in a small town in another part of Mississippi. And after I'd been there for a few years, had developed some really good friendships and gotten to know the other ministers in town, and arrived at one of our community ministerial groups one week to see Brother Steve was back. Brother Steve had been out for a while, and I'd missed some meetings as well. Hadn't seen him in a long time. And so we were excited to see each other. And he came over to me and he said, "Darian, I'm so glad to see you." He said, "I've been wanting to say congratulations." And I said, "Thank you." "On what?" And he said, "On your marriage." And I said, "My marriage?" And he said, "Yeah, you got married, didn't you?" I said, "Brother Steve, who did I marry? This is the first I'm hearing about this." And he said, "Well, I assumed," he said, "I heard you'd gotten married." He said, "I assumed it was the guy you were having lunch with at the Mexican restaurant last week." And I said, "I did have lunch at the Mexican restaurant last week," I said, "but that was not my husband. That was my friend Adam." So we shared a good laugh about that and went on about our week. Well, the next week I was at a dinner party, and I was sitting across the table from two acquaintances who started whispering to each other, and they were kind of looking at me and then whispering. And I just leaned over and I said, "Ladies, what's going on? What are you talking about? And I can tell it's about me, so please just tell me what you're saying." And one of them said, "Well, we're confused." She said, "I thought that you were dating that guy who has the boat across the river because someone saw you going to a party on the boat." And then she said, "But she thinks that you're dating the guy that you went out taking photographs with last week." And I said, "Okay." I said, "The guy with the boat is my friend Brent. I am not dating him. And the guy with the photographs is my friend Mark. I am not dating him. I'm just friends with all of these people." I said, "But I'm a little bit creeped out that everybody knows where I'm eating lunch and getting on a boat and going out taking photographs." And I realized after that that everybody, that these folks that I've been talking to, of course, were well-intentioned. They wanted my good. They wanted the best for me. But I realized something that was happening, a trend that was happening there. One thing that was happening was that they were very focused on seeing me with just one other person, being in a relationship with one other person. They saw me with one other individual, when the real story was that I had this great community of friends. The real story was that there were these great, not just one relationship, but many relationships going on that they couldn't see at first glance. Well, in today's passage, we have at the center of the story a wedding, or a marriage, is more appropriate to say, a marriage being arranged. The story is focused around Isaac and Rebekah, the man and the woman who God is bringing together. And when we see, and when we look at it this way, we do see a great, wonderful love story. But behind the scenes, there are even more great relationships being formed. There is the servant of Abraham who goes on this long journey simply because he loves Abraham and he loves Isaac and he wants their good. We see Rebekah has a nurse with her who also leaves everything behind to go with Rebekah to her new home. We see servants that go with Rebekah. We see Abraham caring about his son enough to go to all this trouble to secure his future. So what appears at first to be a long story about one marriage is actually a story for us as the body of Christ about what it means to be in relationship with each other as the bride of Christ, where Christ is indeed our bridegroom. And as you probably noticed, this story is long. We only heard 23 verses of it today. This story lasts for 67 verses. I encourage you to go home and read all 67 verses. Yes, you've got the time to do so. And I encourage you to do that because there's a reason that Genesis chapter 24 is so long. There is a reason that there are probably multiple reasons that the writer devotes so much time and attention to this particular matchmaking episode. And there are many reasons that that can be, but one thing that I want to put forward to us today to think about is that, first of all, this story reminds us of how God cares about our present needs as well as our future needs, and also that larger story of what it means to be in community with each other, to care for each other as the body of Christ. And as we journey through today's passage, I invite you to think about what it means to be the bride of Christ, what it means to be in relationship with God by being in relationship to each other. And let's begin at the end of today's passage in verse 67. The very last sentence that we heard read was after Isaac and Rebekah had finally met each other, we hear Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now we don't know this at the beginning of the passage we heard today, but Sarah has just died. And Isaac is very sad. Remember, Abraham and Sarah were very old when Isaac was born, and now he's a young adult, and Sarah has died. Abraham keeps getting older, and Isaac is depressed. He's sad. He's been wandering in the desert, where this Negev is the desert where Isaac has been wandering for so long and doing these odd jobs in these different communities, and now he is ready to settle down, but he is alone. He feels very deserted. And when we hear that he has come from Beer Lahai Roy, that is actually an oasis in the desert. That is a place where water is drawn. So Isaac is searching for a drink in the thirsty land of his life. What we see happening here with Isaac is that he's lonely, he's living in the desert. Do you ever feel like you are in that desert time of life, that you are just wandering in a barren land? Well, we can take heart in knowing that Isaac felt the same way, and God provided for his present emotional needs. God gave him everything that he needed by sending the servant to another land to find the wife that God had intended for him. The servant comes back and gives Isaac provides Isaac with everything that he needs, but he's also providing for Isaac's future. Because remember the promise God made to Abraham that through you many nations would be born. Well, this is Abraham's favored son, and he is not married yet, and he is seeking out a wife, and God oversees that whole process. And that process that the servant goes through, we see happening beginning in verse 35. He goes to Abraham's homeland, finds what he needs, and finds what he needs by going to the well. Remember, Isaac has gone to the well, and now the servant is at the well seeking out a wife for Isaac. And he goes there and he asks this of the Lord in verse 42, O Lord God, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will make successful the way I am going. I am standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. So, and then what happens in the verses that follow, Rebekah shows up and does exactly what the servant has asked God to do for him. And the reason for this, friends, is remember that God is concerned about not just Isaac's present needs in his emotional distress, but also about his future, securing his future in the best way possible. Abraham was a generous man, extravagantly generous, and always looking out for others. We hear in verse 35 that he was very wealthy. He had many, many physical riches. But what mattered most to God about Abraham was that he gave his life generously and gave all that he had. Well, at the well, Rebekah does the same thing. She gives generously of her time, of her effort. Now, hospitality would have been just providing him with a drink of water. But to water somebody's camels, have you ever seen how much water one camel can drink, much less many? She is working a long time, investing lots of time, lots of energy into ensuring that this man and his flock and all that he brought with them is taken care of. God is ensuring in this wedding, in this marriage, in this covenant between Isaac and Rebecca, that the generations to come will be as generous as those that went before. The book of Genesis, friends, reminds us of our roots as the body of Christ. They remind us of the family from which we came. And we can look to the book of Genesis, especially to some of these prayers, the prayers of the servants, of the servant, to see how we might pray for the future generations of our family, how we can pray for our children. As the servant prayed for Isaac and prayed for guidance to take care of Isaac, may we do the same. As he prayed for the extravagant generosity to continue in the generations to come, so may it be with us. And what we see in Rebecca is the bride of Christ who gives above and beyond what is necessary. But then Rebecca does something else that we need to pay attention to. And after they have gone back to her home, and the servant has presented his case, and he has given thanks for everything, in verse 58, they call Rebecca, and they say to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will." Rebecca is willing to go to a place she's never seen, to people she's never seen, to a life she does not know just yet. And that is what that is the walk of faith that we are still taking today, friends. Going into the unseen, going to places that we don't always understand, and yet we are called to do so because, not for our own good, but for the good of what God is doing in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, we hear the Apostle Paul praying for us as the body of Christ, saying that he prays that we would know that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give us wisdom and revelation, and that we would know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. When Rebecca says yes, she inherits not just Abraham's riches. I mean, she does not walk into just the physical riches that Abraham and Isaac have. No, she is walking into the riches of the inheritance of the saints of God, the same inheritance that you and I share today. We are all heirs with Isaac and with Rebecca to the great and glorious things that God has poured out upon us this day. And when we think about this, friends, that in the body of Christ, we are indeed the bride of Christ, but the book of the Bible begins here. We have a long story about a marriage. But then in the book of Revelation, at the end of the scriptures, we have a wedding. We have a bridal feast of the Lamb. We often think of it the other way, right? We have a wedding and then the marriage follows. But we're reminded today in the story of Isaac and Rebecca that we are Isaac and Rebecca, that we have entered into a covenant with God Almighty. And we look towards a day when there will be a feast where we are all gathered together, where everything will be fulfilled. But this is an important thing for us to remember, because we heard a story today that seems to be about matchmaking, that seems to be about finding one woman for one man, but really what God is doing there through the one woman and the one man is forming a community, forming a family of faith, those who will inherit the riches of glory that Christ Jesus has poured out upon each of us. When Isaac and Rebecca finally meet at the end of today's passage, we hear something that we don't often hear in Scripture. We hear that he loved her. He loved her. Marriage was not about love in those days. Marriage was a contract. Marriage was a business transaction. But something changed with Isaac and Rebecca. And just like something changes when we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, when we live out his word as the body of Christ, something changes from something just that's business as usual to something born out of pure love. This is not just a story about matchmaking or a match made in heaven. It is a story about us being made for heaven through Christ our Lord. Because he is the bridegroom, celebrated in Revelation chapter 21 as the one who waits to welcome his bride. And until that day comes, each day may we strive to live as God's matchmakers, May we strive not to be just like, not to be like Rebecca or to be like Isaac, but let us strive to be like the servant. Let us strive to be like the nurse, those who are working for the good of those that they love, so that their future needs can be met, present needs can be met. And let us go forth into the deserts of life knowing that God always provides an oasis. God's always got tissue waiting in his box for us. And God is always working to make us ready for heaven by helping us to live out heaven on earth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with him and the Holy Spirit, blessed 3 in 1, now and forever. Amen.